From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 20th. I'm Abby Larico. When concert experts at Chesterfield's Gateway Studios work with bands like Fish or Goose, they provide the gear that turns the band's lighting plans into reality.
He like shows us something on paper, we're like, looks great. And then we see it in person and it always just destroys our expectations. When I watch videos back, I'm like, wow, that looks crazy.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin spent a day with the crew who got a band ready for its opening night. His report coming up on The Gateway. The board of the Francis Howell School District will vote on whether to bar teachers from discussing gender identity with students and require school board approval of new classroom material and books. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, some parents and former students say the proposals would keep teachers and students from having important conversations.
The proposals come on the heels of a school board decision to modify Black history and literature courses by removing a social justice standard. The latest measures include a measure that would allow anyone who lives in the district to call for books and classroom materials to be banned. Some parents say the board is trying to turn back the clock and ignore decades of progress on social justice. Jamie Martin is a parent of a Francis Howell student. She leads a school political action committee.
Our board will tell you that they are here to protect us from political indoctrination. In reality, silencing political speech, silencing progress and new ideas, silencing education is a political act in itself.
School board members who support the proposal could not be reached for comment. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
A plan that would have closed three libraries in St. Charles County is off for now. The St. Charles City County Library Board voted Tuesday night to table a proposal to close the McClay, Deer Run, and Kisker Road branches this summer and lay off 39 employees. The library's president had told the board in a meeting last month that the system's financial outlook was unsustainable heading into 2025 and beyond. Jason Cool explained more patrons are using the library's digital materials, which are more expensive to maintain, and the system's revenue stream hasn't increased. But public outcry led the board to push back a vote on the proposed closures several times. A decision on a path forward is now on hold indefinitely as library leadership looks to form a new plan. Missouri's House Speaker doesn't believe an ethics investigation earlier this year will derail his campaign for Secretary of State. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from House Speaker Dean Plocker's appearance on Politically Speaking.
Plocker faced an ethics investigation on a number of fronts, including reimbursing himself with House funds for travel that his campaign already paid for. He says he made a mistake and repaid the money, and notes that the House Ethics Committee ultimately voted to dismiss the complaints against him. Plocker says the ethics controversy does not hurt his efforts to succeed Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft.
I think that actually makes me a better candidate because they're attacking me for the successes we've had as a whole in the House because we passed conservative legislation.
Plocker is running against seven other candidates for the GOP Secretary of State nomination. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Complaints that former Illinois gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey illegally coordinated with the Political Action Committee have been dismissed. The complaint alleged that the Republican Bailey and Dan Proft, who ran the People Who Play by the Rules pack, worked together through appearances on Proft's radio show. The State Board of Elections said election law doesn't define illegal coordination and dismissed the complaint. The Democratic Party, which brought the matter forward, can take it to court for judicial review if they want. The Illinois Department of Public Health is urging caution as confirmed cases of COVID-19 are rising in emergency rooms. Weekly data from the Centers for Disease Control showed a nearly 30% increase in COVID-related ER visits across Illinois for the first week in June. Dr. Artie Barnes is the State Health Department's chief medical officer. She says treatments are available for people at high risk for developing serious illness once they test positive, and that includes more people than you think.
Even a very sedentary lifestyle, mental conditions like having, you know, severe depression, things like that, that people don't consider traditional risk factors are considered also risk factors for COVID.
Nationally, the CDC reported a 13% uptick in emergency room cases that same week. Barnes hopes the FDA approves a new vaccine for the fall that better protects against the KP2 strain, today's dominant variant. 159 years after the first Juneteenth, and in the fourth year of its festivities, Collinsville, Illinois held its first Juneteenth parade. Hundreds of people representing student groups, civic organizations, and local businesses marched down Main Street Wednesday morning, tossing candy and putting on a show for everyone who braved the heat. The rout ended at a block party-style festival. James Alexander is a staff sponsor of Collinsville High School's Black Student Union, which hosts the event. He says its success has shown students they can embrace and celebrate their culture.
We try to make sure that wherever we go, we are spreading the insight about our culture. Like, no matter if it's Collinsville, Edwardsville, wherever, we got to make sure you know where you come from and what we're trying to get to.
He says plans are already in motion for next year's events with an even bigger footprint downtown. Jam band Goose launched its summer tour at the Factory in Chesterfield earlier this month. The show sounded and looked great for fans in the room and those watching a live webcast from home. Few of them knew the sights and sounds arrived in part through the work of a Chesterfield company that's become a force in the concert industry. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports on the work that happens before a band can hit the stage. You say,
looks like rain today. We say, High Flying Jam Band Goose wrapped up the first of two nights at the Factory around 11:30.
Thank you, St. Louis!
To get to those 3 hours of musical release, it took a full day of work behind the scenes and a company headquartered just down the road.
I always thought I wanted to be a roadie. That's all I ever wanted to be.
That's Chesterfield native Trey Kerr. More than 20 years ago, he talked his way onto the crew of Phish, one of the highest-grossing American touring bands. Now he's CEO of the growing Gateway Studios and Production Services in Chesterfield. For the past few years, it's been Phish's lighting and video vendor. Gateway does the same for Goose.
Thank you.
At 9 a.m. on that recent show day at the Factory, workers on stage attach lights to big trusses that sit on the ground for now. The lights are a big part of any Goose show. The band improvises a lot, which means lighting director Andy Giddy improvises right along with them. He works with Gateway before each tour to put together a package of gear he hopes will turn his notebook ideas into retina-searing reality. Peter Ansbach plays keyboards and guitar with Goose.
He like shows us something on paper, we're like, looks great. And then we see it in person and it always just destroys our expectations. When I watch videos back, I'm like, wow, that looks crazy. When the lights are flashing and the music is going crazy, I'm like, this is the perfect light rig show for this moment.
After about 4 hours of work at the Factory, the last lighting truss is raised high above the stage. Once the lights are hung, the crew start bringing in musical instruments, and a drum tech gets to work. As people wheel big, heavy cases onto stage, others unpack them, and others roll the empty cases away. It's an intricate, color-coded ballet. Crew use colored tape on the outside of the cases to help keep things straight.
All the greens could go?
Not any other color right now.
Over here it could go too. There's a couple on stage right there that are good
okay,
to go.
Okay, I'm going to come and look at them. Who's going to?
For Phish Tours, Gateway CEO Trey Kerr travels with the band, and he directs the nightly webcast. For Goose, Gateway supplies the gear and a color correction engineer, but a longtime member of the Goose operation directs. That's John Lombardi, known to Goose fans as Coach. He and two assistants cram into a loading bay directly behind the stage.
You got the direction desk over here. Over here you have robotics desk. She has the ability to control those four cameras with that joystick right there. And then over here is the engineering desk.
Soon after, the band has sound check. And then things pretty much relax until the venue doors open to fans at 7. Lombardi says he, like the rest of the crew, has his own performance to give tonight.
That moment where everyone's cheering for the band to walk on, I'm talking to, you know, 4 to 5 camera operators. I hear lighting in my ears as well. I'm ready. I'm dialed in. My pupils dilate. It's like I'm watching for the kicker to kick me the ball, and I'm going to return it.
How are we doing, St. Louis?
The long day's journey into jam is finally over, and the public part of this full team performance begins. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Right now, though, more from Goose. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.